Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Somebody knows which verse it is? So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 17, verse 20. Ashadri shuyat prathibati mayayam kshibeva madvasavatam ralochanam nanagavadvora na ishireryam yatpadhayusparshana darshitendriyam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. For persons with impure vision, the Supreme Lord's eyes appear like those of someone who indiscriminately drinks intoxicating beverage. Thus, bewildered, such an intelligent person become angry at the Supreme Lord, and due to their angry mood, the Lord Himself appears angry and very fearful. However, this is an illusion. When the wives of the serpent demon were agitated by the touch of the Lord's lotus feet, due to shyness, they could proceed no further in their worship of Him. Yet the Lord remained unagitated by their touch, for He is equipoised in all circumstances. Therefore, who will not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? This is prayers of Lord Shiva, I guess referring to Kaliya. Purport. Anyone who remains unagitated, even in the presence of cause for agitation, is called Dhira, or equipoised. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, being always in a transcendental position, is never agitated by anything. Therefore, someone who wants to become Dhira must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.13, Krishna says, Dhiras tatra namuhyati, a person who is equipoised in all circumstances is never bewildered. Prahlad Maharaj is a perfect example of a dhira. When the fierce form of Narsingadev appeared in order to kill Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad was unagitated. He remained calm and quiet, whereas others, including even Lord Brahma, were frightened by the features of the Lord. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyanam Janam Shalake Chakshurun Milita Minates My Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Minabudale Soyam Rupa Kadamahyam Radati Zapadam Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pidayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goradvishe Namo Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kipa Sindhu Vyaye Vacha Patita Nam Pavani Vyo Vaishnava Vyo Namo Namah Mukam Karuti Vacharam Pangam Langayate Girin Yat Kribam Tamahan Vane Shiguru Dina Tharam. So this is an interesting verse. Lord Shiva actually is offering some prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. because the chapter being the descent of the river Ganges, I guess. So there is a description where the Ganges is flowing on the heavenly planets. And in the description of the tract of land known as Ilavarsha, Shukadeva Goswami explained that there Lord Shiva is residing with his wife Durga Devi. That was interesting. Now Kali Mantra is coming. That was so. That's maybe why this mantra was there inside. And this is the prayers that Lord Shiva is meditating upon in his abode in Ilavarsha. We are in the description of the universe. You went through description of the universe? Not yet. Yeah, description of Jambudvip. So this is starting the cosmology. Kadev Goswami will now describe the entire universe with the different planetary system and this. And this chapter being called the descent of river Ganges, this is not about Bhagirath. This is explaining how the river Ganges are actually flowing in the heavenly planets. In order to situate myself. So, here Lord Shiva is saying that for the person who has impure vision, it seems that the eyes of the Supreme Lord look like those of someone who drinks intoxicating beverage. I don't know why you think that, maybe because Krishna's eyes are a little bit reddish around. So when somebody is drunk, his eyes are also like a little bit rolling. His eyes are rolling and he looks like drowsy, no? And Krishna also has this mood. His eyes are rolling. So he said that those who have impure vision, they will think that this person must be drunk or something like that. But actually this is due to impure vision. The real reason is that Krishna is always experiencing unlimited bliss, unlimited ananda, pure love. So this makes also in some such kind of intoxication, but this is not intoxication by the ignorance, but intoxication by pure love. But it is also described that his eyes are rolling and drowsy and he looks like a drunk person. Although he's not drunk. You understand the difference of intoxication? He is bewildered also, intoxicated, but not by substance like alcohol. Krishna is intoxicated by a substance which is ecstasy. He is experiencing so much ecstasy that this is overwhelming him. So that's why he looks little bit strange sometimes, because when someone experiences a very intense feeling of ecstasy, he lose a little bit contact with the external world. Like someone who is drunk also lose contact. He becomes like lost in his thought and mind and own illusion, thinking, yes, I am this, I am that. You know, drunk people, that's sometimes very crazy. I'm just coming from New York, Union Square. Every day we are playing there in Union Square, doing Harinam Sankirtan, 6 hours every day sitting. So Union Square is very popular place. So we see all kinds of weird people from New York. I can tell you during this month I have seen some things I had never seen before. I see some people really crazy. Sometimes they're coming, and you know, crazy people, when they see a devotee, they like. They always like the devotee. So they start dancing in front of us and doing all kind of strange things. But I didn't know such a strange thing were existing. In New York, they are very high level of crazy people they have. I will not give description here in Bhagavatam class. If you want, I can tell you in another place. But sometime, even in the kirtan, I was just laughing. I could not contain myself. I heard the people did. I see. Yeah. Especially one day I saw one guy, he came and he started to do a show in front of us while there was the music. And this is, I think, the most crazy thing I have never seen in my life. It was not bad thing, but it was just completely nonsense, completely insane. Anyway.
One Jew in the Union Square. There's one Jew and one Muslim.
Oh yeah, that's 3 days ago.
Yeah, you were dancing.
Yeah, I was playing the kartal, and all of a sudden I happened to open my eyes. I had not opened my eyes since the beginning of the kartan. Kaliya Krishna Prabhu was playing. I opened my eye and I saw a Jewish person, you know, dressed in black with the hat and this hair falling, dancing. I did. Really dancing in ecstasy, and it took me some few seconds to realize, oh, that's a Jew, he's dancing like that, what's happening? So I focused my eyes a little bit more to see what happening, and I saw, actually, he was dancing hand in hand with a Muslim. The Muslim was dressed as a Muslim, he had the beard, and they were dancing. Spinning around, you know, with the arms like the devotees are doing, and really jumping. And Bhakta Nihal was with them, jumping around them, and some African-American girl, you know, like this Christian who likes to make the gospel, she joined and she started dancing. I could not believe my eyes. Jews and Muslim dancing in the kirtan. I said, That's the real power of the kirtan. And I remember this verse from Prabhudananda Sarasvati. In Chaitanya Chandramanita, Prabhudananda Sarasvati wrote that the yogis were absorbed in meditation and the gyanis were completely absorbed in their studies of the scriptures. And Karmi, they were performing very complicated ritual in order to get the result of their desire result. Then Prabhudananda Sarasvati said, but this was before. Now, this doesn't exist anymore. Everybody is dancing like a madman in the Sankirtan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu while shedding tears of love. Even the yogis, the gyanis, the karmis, they have given up their task and they are dancing in the kirtan also. And it remembered me this verse. And I thought, before The Jewish people were praying in their synagogue, and the Muslim people were bowing down, and they were making war each other, you know, but this was before. Now they are dancing like madmen in the kirtan of Mahaprabhu. War is over. Everybody is happy. And they were really enjoying, you know. They had a smile like this, and they kept dancing a long time. So this is the power of holy name. Then after a while they went. It seemed that they were already good friends, both of them actually, because they went away. How do you say? We say in French, bras sur bras dessous, arms in arm. They went away, arms in arm. Or maybe this is the kirtan who connected them like that. They just went away, arms in arm. So anyway. But those who think that the Supreme Lord is intoxicating, like someone who is indiscriminately drinking intoxicating beverage, these persons are unintelligent. And they become angry at the Supreme Lord. And because they are angry at the Lord appears himself angry and very fearful. However, this is an illusion. This means, according to how you look at Krishna, Krishna will reveal himself to you. Some Prabhupada explained here in the verse, example of Prahlad Maharaj. When Lord appeared as Nrisimhadev, he had a very fearful form and everybody was afraid. But for Prahlad, he was not afraid, not at all. He saw this form was very dear to his heart. So he was not afraid. He felt some affection and love for Lord Nrisimhadev. But everybody else was afraid because the form was fearful, depending on what was in their heart. They had not that depth of devotion and love for Krishna that Prahlad had. So they were afraid first. So I have seen sometimes people coming in the temple when they see Nrisimhadev, they are afraid. Some people told me already, who is that? It's very frightening. And some people they are not afraid. They look, they like and Nrisimhadev, you know. It is depending on what is in our heart. The Vedas say that Atmanam Manyate Jagat, we see the universe according to what we have in our heart. So someone who is envious person will see enemies everywhere. He's thinking everybody is my enemy, or this person doesn't like me. Actually this is in his mind only. You know, the mind always trying to make us believe that what he tells us is what the other thinks. This is a very dangerous trick of the mind. The mind will make me think that, oh, Samir Prabhu is thinking that. But I don't know what Samir Prabhu is thinking, no? But sometimes I'm thinking, you know, Samir Prabhu is thinking this. And I will develop a wrong conception about Samir. Actually, he's not thinking this at all. I don't know. Because you cannot know what it is in the mind of someone else. But the mind will make you guess, oh, this person is like this, like that. And we would start to judge them. You know what I'm thinking about? We would start to judge them about what we just imagine they are thinking. Oh yes, but if I tell him this, then he will answer this. I know for sure he will answer this. How we know? We don't know. You cannot know how, what person we are. The mind is always trying to make us think that this person is thinking this. Because actually this is in our heart. And we want to transpose what is in our heart in the heart of the others. If someone is envious person, he will think everybody also has this envy in his heart. If someone is a cheater, he's thinking everybody has this cheating propensity, no? So he's always afraid to be cheated because himself is cheating the other. So he's thinking, oh, this person must be trying to cheat me. Maybe this person doesn't have this cheating tendency like he has. You understand? So this is Atmanam Manyate Jaga. And this applies to every level of life. Someone who is very kind person think everybody is kind also. That's why he can connect with everybody easily. If we are distributing books in the street, for example, if you are a kind person, this is much more easy because you're thinking everybody is kind. Because this is what the experience of what is a human being we have is what we have. I am thinking this, I am working in this way, my mind is working in this way. So I just think everybody is working in the same way. This is completely wrong. Many people are working in many, many different ways, different level of consciousness. But we tend to see the world according to our own level of consciousness, thinking that everybody is on my same level. This is why someone who is spiritually a neophyte cannot recognize someone who is very advanced spiritually, because he doesn't know what spiritually advanced means, so he cannot recognize. But when one is spiritually advanced, he knows what means spiritual advancement, so he can recognize the others who are spiritually advanced, because he knows what are the symptoms of this advancement, because he experienced them. So if he sees someone else manifesting these symptoms, and he knows, oh, that person also. For another person, you cannot see this. And even more, this is why a pure devotee thinks everybody is a pure devotee, by the same principle, Atmanam Manyate Jagat. Because in his heart, he is only love and devotion, he's thinking everybody is like me. There was one story in Italy. One priest, like some Christian priest, very mystical, he had some mystic power, his name was Padre Pio, or Father Pio. Pio is like family name in Italy. Padre Pio was his name. And when he was a young boy, the Virgin, you know, Mary, Mother Mary, she would appear to him always, and she would speak to him. And because he was an innocent young boy, he was thinking everybody, the Mother Mary is appealing to everybody and giving some good advice to everybody. So one day he was speaking with one of his classmate, friend in school. And he told him all that, how yesterday Mother Mary came and she told him this and that. And his boyfriend was looking at him like this, what? What are you saying? Mother Mary appeared to you? He said, yes. She told me this. And he said, are you sure? He said, yes, Mother Mary appeared to me. I said, I don't believe you. You don't believe me? Then he asked me, Mother Mary is not talking to you also? She is not appearing to you every day? He said, no. I said, oh, I was thinking. Everybody is coming to fear everybody, I was thinking, you know. Because Atmanam Manyate Jagat, for him that was a daily experience, so he was thinking, she's coming to see also all the boys in the school. So that tendency. And Prahlad Maharaj said to his father, Hiranyakashipu, actually, my dear father, you're thinking that your enemies are outside, but actually they're inside yourself. This is always the same thing. Because when someone is not peaceful inside, he will see enemies also, everywhere, outside. So then Prabhupada explained the principle of dhira, or equipoisedness, we can say, equipoisedness, or someone who is equipoised, or sober. And here Lord Shiva is taking the example of the wife of the serpent demon, I guess, Kaliya. Prabhupada explaining, anyone who remains unagitated, even in the presence of cause for agitation, is called dhira or equipoised. Dhira dhira janapriyo. Nirmatsara pujito. So there are two kinds of person in this world, those who are dhira and those who are adhira. The adhira person, they are always agitated. Whatever happens outside will disturb them. If it's sunny or if it's raining, they will be affected. They will be, for example, happy if it is sunny, and not happy if it is raining, depending on their liking, what they like. Some people don't like when it's sunny, some people prefer when it's raining. And they will be happy or not, according to the external circumstances. If somebody comes and he will glorify that person, he will feel happy. Oh yes, he's glorifying me. That's nice. He's desiring to hear more. Yes, well, you know, you can go on. Speak more, something more, you have to say, he likes this. And but if someone is coming and speaking bad name at him, he will become automatically angry, you know. Some people who are very much disturbed, you just said to them one bad name, they can jump on you and kick you. Only for this, you become so much disturbed. This is the test, you know, the test, the story of Bhrigumuni. Bhrigumuni and the sages, they were assembled and they were thinking, who is the Supreme Lord? We cannot determine between Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu who is the Supreme Lord. So Bhrigumuni decided that I will make inquiry, you know, like the FBI is going door to door making some inquiry. He said, I will go like detective and I will check, I will imagine something for checking. So he went to see his father, Lord Brahma, on Brahma Loka, Satya Loka. And when he came, he didn't offer his obeisances to Lord Brahma. He just came like this and started speaking to Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma told him, hey, who are you? I am your father and I am the best demigod in this universe. You don't even offer your obeisances. You're speaking like that. And he became angry. And then Bhrigumuni said, oh, there is some anger and some pride in Brahma, subtle. Then he went to see Lord Shiva. He came in the same way. He didn't pay obeisances, start speaking like this. And Lord Shiva was okay. He didn't took it badly. But then after, he started to insult Lord Shiva. Then Lord Shiva became angry. Very angry at him. So he had to run to escape. And after he came to Svetadvip, where Lord Vishnu was lying on the Anantashesh in the milk ocean. And Lord Vishnu was sleeping, relaxing. So Bhrigumuni came. He didn't pay obeisances. And he started to also speak not very respectfully to Lord Vishnu, but he was sleeping, so he didn't move. So Bhrigumuni finally gave a big kick with his feet, big kick on the chest of Lord Vishnu. Strong kick. That's why Lord Vishnu has now the footprint of Bhrigumuni on his chest. When they make deity in Vrindavan, they would make this footprint on the chest of the deity. I remember when we had made some deities in Vrindavan, and he had made that footprint. I saw that footprint on chest of Krishna was there, and I asked him to the Murtiwala who making the deity. I asked him, why is this footprint here? He told me, oh, this is Bhrigumuni. And I told him, but this is Vishnu. Bhrigumuni making kick on Vishnu, not Krishna. Krishna doesn't have this footprint. This is Vishnu. I don't want this footprint. I want deity, but I don't want with this footprint. You should make without. He was not happy, but he did it because he wanted someone else. But in the beginning, he said, no, here always we put footprint. I said, this is not proper conception. But and when he got that kick, Lord Vishnu awakened, you know, and he saw Bhrigumuni and he said, oh, Bhrigu, you have come. I am such fortunate that such a great Brahmana like you came to bless my where I was. Today is my good fortune. Then he said to Bhrigumuni, I hope you didn't hurt your feet when you kicked my chest. You don't feel some pain or something like that? And Bhrigumuni was amazed. He understood, oh, this is the Supreme Lord. He is really Dhira, undisturbed. Prabhupada explained here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, being always in transcendental position, is never agitated by anything. He can tolerate always. Therefore, someone who wants to become Dhira must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:13, Krishna says, Dhirastatra Namuhyati, a person who is equipoised in all circumstances is never bewildered. So, Krishna is Dhira. Dhirodatta, Dhira Lalita, you know, different aspects of Krishna, but this word Dhira is there always. Krishna is always equipoised. He cannot be disturbed by the external things. And actually, if we want to progress spiritually, we have to develop that quality also, Dhira, which is very important quality of a devotee. A devotee of Krishna has 26 quality, and Dhira is one of them. He is also equipoised. Then Prabhupada explains some point very interesting in this verse. He is explaining to us how we can develop that quality, because it's quite difficult, you know, to become equipoised in all circumstances means remaining unagitated, even in the presence of cause for agitation. That means even if I am really trying to agitate you, if you are able to remain unagitated, then you are Dhira. I may do the test, who is Dhira? Sometimes I like to do this. The devotees, I do this most particularly with the brahmacharis, because I don't know with the other how they really are. And I don't know this with the senior, I don't do this with the senior brahmachari, but with the younger, sometimes I like to. Just for, this is out of affection, you know. I like to tease them to see how much they are equipoised or not. This is a funny game. And we have right to do this if this is not done out of envy but out of affection. But you have to do it very seriously. They don't know you're joking. They think you're serious, you know? And you can tease them like this and see how far they are there or not. And after you say that, oh, you see, Prabhu, you become disturbed. You should not. Like, there was one Vaishnava who went to the Himalayas I heard from Sachinandan Maharaj the story with his disciple, and they met a yogi. Very great yogi, he was sitting in meditation, and near him there was a pile of rupees, huge pile of rupees. Everybody, you know, the Indian person, they saw yogi, they threw a rupee, thinking, oh, if I throw a rupee to the yogi, I may get something good for me. This is how far goes their spiritual life. So there was a pile of rupee like this, but he was detached, completely detached. He doesn't mind about this pile of rupee because he never uses rupee. He's living in the Himalaya, so just the rupee were just accumulating. For him, it's like pebble. Maybe he doesn't know even what is rupee. Maybe he's very old. He doesn't know what is rupee. And anyway, he doesn't mind. So there were rupee everywhere around me, but he never took one rupee or used. He was just meditating peacefully. And at some point, he opened his eyes and he stood up to go for the river to make his morning ablution, something like that. And that Vaishnava said to his disciple, sit on his baitak. Baitak means the asana, the place where he was sitting. You know, the yogi, they have to put some kosha grass, then a deer skin on top of the kosha grass. Krishna is describing the sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, how they have to make an asana good for meditation, good place. So he said to his disciple, sit there. One disciple was thinking, really? He said, yes, yes, sit there. I give you instruction. So the disciple went and he sit on the asana of the yogi, and then the yogi came back and he saw that Brahmachari on the on his asana, and he said, why are you sitting on my baitak? This is my baitak. You cannot sit on my baitak. And the guru was smiling and said, oh, yogi, yogiji, you have been meditating during so many years, but still you are agitated if someone is sitting on your seat. I was thinking you are much above anger. I was thinking great yogis, they're supposed to be, you know, very controlled. But just this little piece of deer skin and a few blade of grass, you are attached to that. If somebody is sitting, you become disturbed. So the guru told him this. He said, I think you must reconsider your meditation. Maybe it's not really the proper way, because I can see the result is not. In just few seconds you became agitated. So he was not Dhira. If he had been Dhira, he would have seen, oh, this person sat on my baitak. Okay, nice. That's good for him. Yes, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bhukti Mukti Siddhikami Sakare Ashanto. Those who are searching for the pleasure in this world, to enjoy this world, have a nice life. And Bhukti Mukti, those who want to be liberated from this world, they don't want to remain in this world, they want to escape. And those who are searching for mystic power, Siddhi, Kami, those who desire all these kind of things, Sakale Ashanta, they can never be peaceful. Why? Because they have some material desire. They want this, I want this. Then they cannot be peaceful. They will only be, because they are attached to something which is not essential. So as long as they don't have this, they will not be peaceful. And when they will have it, still they will not be peaceful also, because this is not the object which will bring them real peace. Atayeva Krishna Bhakta. I don't know the hand. But who is a devotee of Krishna is always peaceful, because he desires nothing. He doesn't mind if life is nice or not. He doesn't mind if he will be liberated or not. He doesn't mind if he'll get some mystic power or not. He only minds to please Krishna, to hear this mantra. And here Prabhupada explaining how to develop that an agitated frame of mind or equipoised nature. Therefore, someone who wants to become Dhira must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Because Krishna is Dhira, if you take shelter of Him, that quality of Him will also be transferred to your heart. With whom we associate? That way we become. Or the soul is like a diamond. Soul is like a crystal. According to which color of light you send in the crystal will become this color. If you send blue ray in the crystal will become blue. No? If you send red ray in the crystal will become red. You know? If you send green ray in the crystal become green. So, the same way, according to the soul's association, the soul will take a different color. Or, the meaning is that actually, according to whom we associate, we will develop the qualities of this person. Blue quality or red quality. So, in order to develop good qualities, we have to associate with persons who have these good qualities. And this is just natural, even without making effort, just by being in association with this person, these qualities will appear in our heart, gradually. How they will appear? By serving them. This is why Krishna said, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya. By serving the great personalities, the qualities who are inside their heart will be transferred gradually, slowly, to our heart.
And also surrender. If you don't see full shelter.
Yes, serving includes surrender.
Full shelter, like Prabhupada said, how could we be, how can we be free from false identification? But Prabhupada said, by the time and full engagement, 24 yes. hours in devotional service. False ego is digested like food that you eat after 2 hours, no more stomach. Without full engagement, it's not possible. It's not possible.
So this is the sevaya, the service, must be uninterrupted and unmotivated. This is what is actually what he's associating with great souls who have these good qualities. Because some people, they saw Prabhupada, but they never became devotees. Why? Because actually they never associated with Prabhupada. They saw him, but they never associated with him. So association is not just seeing or not even listening. I met some people who went to some public lectures of Prabhupada 50 years ago in France. And they heard the lecture and this, but they never become devotees. They were thinking, oh, it was nice, yeah. But okay, I had some... They could not realize, you know, because they didn't took at heart what Prabhupada said. So associating means that you will take in your heart what this person is sharing with you. Then there is really association. And then the qualities of this person will come to you. This is why Narottamdas Thakur told us, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitite Koiriyo Akya. You take the words coming from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master and you make them one with your heart. Chitite Koiriyo Aikya. Koriyo Aikya means making one and the same. We have translated by my only desire is to see. But actually Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitite Koriyo Aikya means take the instruction from the lotus lips of the spiritual master and make them one with your heart. This is more accurate translation. But this translation were not made by Prabhupada. You know, all our songs, they were not made by Prabhupada personally. And we can also translate in different way. It's not wrong. My only wish is that, because this is also another way to explain the word Aikya. Chititekoryo Aikya. My only wish is that the word of the spiritual master, but then we will not explain the word Korya. Korya means make or do. So if we say my only wish is that the word of the spiritual master purify my heart, that is not the word doing or the active word is removed from the translation. So it's less complete translation. Good translation is you take this word and you put them in your heart and you make your heart one with these words. Then the qualities of Prabhupada would come in your heart also. This is real association. And ultimately, we develop qualities by associating with the Vaishnavas like this. And why the Vaishnavas, they have these qualities? Because they associate with Krishna. And Krishna is Dira. Krishna has these transcendental qualities, so by associating with Krishna, gradually, day after day, we develop also these qualities. There is one verse we're saying, whoever is a devotee will develop naturally all qualities of the demigod. Because these are the qualities of Krishna. In 64 qualities, I don't know them by heart, but I'm sure that Dira is there also, most probably. And if it's not there, it's just because it is out of the list. But we know that Krishna is Dira because Prabhupada say it here. So Krishna is the supreme Dira. And if we associate with him, we will also become Dira. So association, like Mother Tamara was saying, means taking shelter. Prabhupada is saying, one who wants to become Dira must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So that means taking shelter means we put our faith into someone. Yes, I have a faith in you. Whatever you say, whatever you will advise me, I will follow. This is what is taking shelter. And when you do this, then the qualities of that person will gradually appear in your life. There is also one mystic thing, which is that when you think about someone, just by thinking about that person, I don't know how many, I heard from Radhanath Maharaj, how many percent of the qualities of this person will...
1%.
1%. Yeah. 1% of the qualities of this person will appear in your heart, just by thinking of this person. If you're thinking of Prahlad Maharaj, just by thinking, I guess this means with appreciative mood, but maybe even with... Just by thinking, with thinking about Prahlad Maharaj, 1% of his qualities will be manifested in our heart. Because this is some kind of association, thinking about someone. We remember the character of that person, the quality of that person. And that may make us think, oh, this quality is nice. Prahlad Maharaj was very...
Remembering.
Or Smaranam. This is one of the process. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So remembering Krishna or remembering the Vaishnava is powerful because we develop their qualities. We associate by remembrance or by thinking. Because he took shelter of Krishna. And because he took shelter of Krishna, who is the absolute Dira, he became also Dira, he became like Krishna and developed these good qualities. So day after day, by chanting the holy name, we are associating with Krishna. So all the qualities of Krishna will also manifest in our heart, depending on how much we take shelter of the Holy Name, how much we have faith in the Holy Name, how much we have confidence in the Holy Name, how much, so to say, we open our heart to the Holy Name and let Him enter in our heart. If we believe, yes, the Holy Name is Krishna, He's not a son, He is a person. And He is the most wonderful person. He possesses all these qualities. So I want to open my heart to Him. No? When you meet someone who is a very nice person, you naturally feel desiring to open your heart to that person, to exchange. Why? Because we know if I open my heart to that person may also open his heart to me. And I'll get something nice. No? From him I'll get what I see nice in that person, I'll get. He will share something with me. And then I will be able to keep that in my heart also and become like him. Everybody is like this in this world. Everybody is opening his heart to some idol, no? Everybody has some idol. Someone is a rock star, idol, all this and that. Yes? I know when I was young I had so many idol music stars, no? And unfortunately all the qualities also came in my heart. I didn't choose the good idol. So their tendency, their qualities also came in my heart. I know my proper experience, you know? We like Jimi Hendrix, we like all this John Lennon, all this thing. How much you like them, how much you put their poster, you listen to their song, their qualities will come into your heart. Those who have done so, they have experience. All this quality. I was a young boy, you know, like innocent, teenager. But then when you start to worship this person, their qualities appeared. And you become attracted by drugs, you become attracted by all these things. This is due to association, to whom you associate. Or to some friend, you like this friend, normally some. Or to older brother, oh, my older brother is so cool. The younger brother will naturally worship his older brother because he will admire him. And he's trying to do like him, you know, trying to dress same way and this, and then the qualities come. If you have a very good older brother, he is a devotee, most probably the younger brother will be influenced and become devotee also. No? If you are Grihastha, you have to know, first child, this child you have to train very nicely. Because he will become the example for all the other child also. Yeah. If you train first child very nicely, if he becomes nice devotee, naturally second child will say, oh, this is my big brother, he's like this, I want to become like him. Because natural tendency of a younger brother is he wants to become like older brother, isn't it? Or younger sister, she's saying, oh, my sister, she's so beautiful, oh, she dress, I want to be like that. No? This tendency. And so they will imitate. So this is the principle of association. Prabhupada is referencing to that. Who wants to be Dhira must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Who wants to be merciful must take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. A different aspect of Krishna. According to who... to which aspect of Krishna we will worship, particular qualities also we will develop. No? Because if a devotee is worshipping Lord Narsingha, he will develop some certain mood. You will see that devotee may become angry easily. That anger may be pure anger, because he is also worshipping Lord Narsingha, so he is not developing bad desire, but his mood may be little bit fired up, you know. You can see some devotees, they have their mood. They may like Narsingadev. Normally, this devotee you will see, they like Narsingadev. naturally. And devotees who are very sweet, they are like Radha and Krishna. Because that sweetness actually they are getting because they are of their appreciation of Radha and Krishna. And devotees who are very compassionate, who always want to go out and distribute the books and this, because they like very much Gaur Nithai, isn't it? So the qualities of Gaur Nithai will mainly appear in their heart. Therefore, in our line, actually, it is recommended that we should take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is very important thing. This is the greatest shelter we can take, because he is the most merciful form of Krishna. So, first we have more chance by approaching Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and also because he is possessing the most beautiful qualities. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Nami Krishna Sarupam. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna who adopted the qualities of Radharani. So Krishna is wonderful. He is the wonderful wonder of all wonders. He has 64 qualities. Very, you know, it's unlimitedly attractive. But even Krishna himself is attracted by Radharani. That means the qualities of Radharani are even more beautiful than the qualities of Krishna. So much so that he himself desired to develop these qualities, no?
She has different qualities than
him. We cannot say that she has different qualities than him. We could say better that if he has any qualities, it is because he associated with her. This is what the Gaudiya Vaishnavas say. If Krishna has some good qualities, this is because he's taking shelter of Radharani.
This is his value, because he separated himself.
Yes. On the platform of Tattva, Krishna and Radha, they are one, and they separate themselves eternally. This is the Leela. But on the platform of the Leela and the Rasa, actually Radharani is the possessor of these qualities, and Krishna developed these qualities by associating with Radharani. Also, we know this is all coming from Krishna, because Radha ultimately is Krishna. He's the source of everything. But he himself said that he is the disciple of Radharani. Krishna said in Chaitanya Charitamrita.
Like a guru made disciple and said, the disciple advanced, so he is my guru.
Yes. It's Krishna said, what is this verse? Radhara prema amara guru amishi shanat. Something like that. Maybe. It's not perfect. The love of Radharani is my spiritual master, and I am her dancing pupil. I am learning by dancing according to the dictation of her love. So this is on the level of rasa. There is no more tattva. Forget the tattva. Tattva is forgotten, no? Mozart Yashoda, she take the ear of Krishna like this. What have you done? There is no more tattva. No? Tattva is finished. Yeah. If she would think I am catching the ear, you know, of the Supreme Absolute Truth, from whom everything emanates, maybe she will not do that. But tattva has to be put aside so that rasa or pure love can manifest to the full extent. Because this is his happiness, actually this is his greatest happiness. So, in the same way, because, okay, Krishna is a Krishna, he has good qualities, but like Gaur Govinda Maharaj would say, Krishna is like an unripened mango. And a ripened mango is like green, no? Green, blue, like this. But mango, when it becomes ripened, it becomes yellow. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Krishna is the same mango, but unripened mango. But when he accepted in his heart the qualities of Radharani, he became ripened mango. Krishna?
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes.
He likes to hear?
Of course he likes.
I'm not sure.
Yes. I can tell you. Because Krishna has no ego. He has no ego. He doesn't think he is better.
No?
No. If you tell him then compared to Radharani, they are doing like this in the Supreme world, no? So he doesn't, actually he likes very much to hear that.
But then he left. He left.
That's another topic. Then you have to know why he left. You're just introducing a story, but you have to know what is the conclusion of that story. Then you will realize that she is the controller. Radhe Vrindavanishwari. My spiritual master told me one day, the people think that Krishna is the supreme controller, but actually it's not true. Radharani is controlling Krishna. In Vrindavan everything is under control of Radharani, not Krishna. Krishna is, in Vrindavan he is not controlling nothing, he is under the control. This is Krishna. Because Supreme Lord likes to be under the control. Like children, who has no strength. Maybe I already told you this. I often use this. When a children is like 4 or 5 years old, they like very much this superhero, you know, Spider-Man, Captain America, Batman. They like to dress like them, no? And they do. Pew, 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 pew. They imagine in their head, I have superpower, you know, like. Have you not seen? I can tell you in Union Square, Harinam, we always have some little Spider-Man arriving and dancing, dressed like Spider-Man. They like, you know? 4 or 5 years old, this is age when they like to put this. When I was young, I had also these guys, Peter Pan, I had. I like Peter Pan. I have this small bow and arrow, and with the hat, with the feather. My disguise, Peter Pan. I would feel, yes, I'm great. When I put this disguise, I would climb on the trees and jump from the trees, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm great. I'm Peter Pan. Because the child has no power, he likes to think, I have so many power. This is his happiness, you know. Krishna has unlimited power. So for him, it's not funny. Is natural, he is like that. But his play is reversed. Krishna likes to play, I have no power. That is making him fun. You know? Now let's say I have no power. And I play, I have completely no power. And he played it 100% fully. And then he enjoys that. Yes, I have no power. Mother catches here. Oh, start to cry. No? Mother running after him with a stick, running like this. Looking behind. She's approaching and going more fast with his little feet, you know? Little boy, when they run, their feet has to go very fast because they make small steps, you know? But mother making big steps. So she's walking, running gracefully, as described Shukadeva Goswami. Her hips are moving gracefully, she's making long steps. But he is short-legged, huh? So his feet have to go very fast. You have to be on higher speed than the mother, you know? You understand? Like in the bicycle, you know, there is different speed. There is big speed and big wheel and small. He's on the small. So when you are on the small, you know, your feet just run very fast. You know? If you're going in If you're gaining speed and you don't put the big higher speed, then you have to do very fast. It's funny even, no? So Krishna was running like this, with his small leg, feeling, oh, my mother is behind me. And she said, stop. Krishna said, no, I will not stop. He said, yes, you stop. He said, no, if you don't drop your stick, I will not stop. I'm sorry. Like this, he was feeling that he's in happiness. He is playing, I have no power. No? The reverse mode, Krishna is the absolute. So Krishna likes this. So Krishna is amazed by the qualities of Radharani.
He doesn't like to be God.
To be?
God.
Not so much. Lord Nrisimhadev said this to Prahlad Maharaj. He said, oh Prahlad, stop with this mood of awe and reverence. This is not bringing me any pleasure actually. So please stop all these prayers and this. Then he took Prahlad on his lap. That made him happy, you know? Started to part Prahlad. He took Prahlad in his arm. That was his happiness. Finish this awe and reverence mood.
But we cannot forget Krishna.
At our level of devotion, no, we cannot. We should always keep in mind, Krishna is not my friend. Krishna is Supreme Lord. Whenever he will decide, he can remove that aspect. But we should not remove it. He will remove it. Like I was in Vrindavan 2008, and Bhakti Vishramba Madhav Maharaj said this in the morning class. He said, you may call Krishna Bhaiha, but the question is that, no, it's not that if you call Krishna Bhaiha. Hey, Bhaiha, Bhaiha means my friend. Bhaiha. Or you need Bhai. Yahara, Prasade, Bhai. Bhai means friend. You may call Krishna Bhaiha, but the question is not this. The question is Krishna calling you Bhaiha? Because you may call Krishna Bhaiha, Bhaiha, but he may not think, who is that guy who is calling me Bhaiha? I never saw him, no? No? So, when Krishna will call us Bhaiha, that day we will be really Bhaiha. We will be the friend of Krishna. That day we can call him back Bhaiha. This is simple. Even small boys in the primary school, they know this.
No.
How you don't know this?
Anything.
If I want to be this boy to become my friend, I have to become friend of that person who is his friend. No? If you know that Peter, I like Peter, I like to become his friend. But I see that Peter is a friend with Gregory. And I know Gregory is... I already some kind of friendship with Gregory. So if I could become good friend of Gregory, naturally Peter will become my friend also. No? That's logic. So in the same way, Krishna likes his devotees. If you develop friendship with his devotees, naturally Krishna will think you as his friend. Raghunath Das Goswami said this in the Govardhan Astakam. He wrote, he said, O Giridhar, because Krishna has the natural tendency to become affectionate to those who are near to the one who are dear to him, if I take shelter of you, then maybe I have a hope that Krishna will appreciate me. You understand? Then, therefore, he said, please allow me to always reside by your side. So by taking shelter of those who are dear to Krishna, we will become dear to Krishna. Or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said the same thing to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You know, when the Amoga, the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he offended Mahaprabhu. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was very disturbed and afraid. He said, oh, he rejected his son-in-law. And at the end of the story, Mahaprabhu told him, but you should not be afraid, because actually whoever is connected to you is also dear to me. Even if he has not so much quality because that whoever is dear to you is automatically dear to you, no matter what this person is, because he's dear to my devotee, so he's dear to me. And in the same thing, Mahaprabhu explained this point many times. About Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also. And there is this, I don't remember who said one day, by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his unlimited compassion, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was Mayavadi, became a great devotee. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, this is not by my grace. This is because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the dear to Gopinath Acharya. And because Gopinath Acharya, he is a son-in-law, also in this case, he is a son-in-law, was a great devotee. Just because of this, Krishna showed his mercy to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, even though he was a Mayavadi. So this is question of affection. And Mahaprabhu said also to Shivas, oh Shivas, whoever is living in your house is dear to me. Even the dogs living in your house, I consider like a member of my own family. So this is the secret of spiritual life. If we want to become dear to Krishna, then we have to become dear to those who are dear to Krishna. Or the great Vaishnava, who are dear to Krishna. Somehow or other, we have to make ourselves dear to them. If one great soul likes you, it's done. Krishna will take you to his eternal abode, sure. Whatever you do, I will not encourage you to do bad things, because that may delay also. But if you do some bad thing, you may lose also the appreciation of that, of the great souls. But if the great soul, some great soul, appreciate you, then Krishna will appreciate you.
So is it proper you like someone great soul and you go to this place and say, how can I be, can I do something for you that I didn't do dear?
Yeah?
Is this proper?
This is our process. Krishna said, those who said they are my devotees, actually they are not my devotees. I consider my devotees those who are the devotees of my devotees. This person, they are dear to me because they develop appreciation for those who are dear to me. No? If I love very much this person, and I see that somebody also developing love for this person, naturally I will feel inclined to love also that person, no? Because we are loving the same thing. So most probably we have very similar heart. For love, for becoming dear to a Vaishnava is not also so easy.
It's not easy?
It's not so easy because you have to develop some real quality. The most, they are merciful, but they are not, they cannot be cheated. Yeah, and we have to be sincere. Vaishnav is always compassionate to those who are sincere. If someone is not sincere, they are not so much interested in this person. This is a picture. The Vaishnavas, those who are envious, they just neglect them because they know they cannot do nothing for them. You know, there is four ways we have to deal with devotee. Madhyamadikari, according to Krishna, he relates with Krishna with love. He loves Krishna. And then he makes friendship with the devotees. And those who are innocent, he becomes merciful toward them. And those who are envious, he neglects them. That doesn't mean he develops some envy or hatred toward them, but he realized because this person are envious, you know, envious people, you cannot do nothing for that person. Even if you try, you'll just lose your time. Because the more you will try to be kind to an envious person, the more that person will become envious of you. Isn't it? Someone doesn't like you, better you just... Yeah, not ignore, in our language, ignore as some pejorative meaning, but say like, keep distance of that person.
Keep distance.
The word is apeksha, neglect this person. But on the basis of, you know, I cannot do. Like Guru Gobinda Maharaj was saying always that if you know somebody will not listen to you, then there is no need to speak to that person. Otherwise you will just lose your time. If you know somebody has no respect for you and no faith in what you say, then you will just lose your time trying to convince this person. He will never believe you.
Perhaps sowing in barrenness.
What?
Sowing in
barrenness? Yeah. This is natural. So, the Vaishnavas, they are very, very, they are merciful toward everybody, that's for sure. Even the envious people and this, they are merciful. But if you are sincere, then they will be very attracted by you. This kind of affection we need. Not only the global affection. Of course, global affection will also give you all good fortune in time. This may take some few lives. Whoever met Prabhupada, even if that person never established deep connection with Prabhupada, this is just a question of time. Because just if a pure devotee just cast his glance toward you, then you are already considered that very soon Krishna will take you in the spiritual world. But that may take some few lives if you're not developing the good mood. Few life means can be certain number of life, especially if you do some wrong thing. But you are already touched by some grace, so it will come to you. But if you are sincere, it will take only one life.
What does it mean?
Hmm?
What does it mean? What one should do to be considered sincere?
Sincere. Bengali, I think Bengali, we call Saralata. Vaishnava Saralata. Simplicity.
Not duplicity.
Not duplicity. That means when you do something, you do it with all your heart. Really meaning what you're doing. Like a child. Child is a simple. If you give a candy to a child, he will smile. No? You will take the candy and you will think, oh, this person is nice. No? If you give a candy to an adult, you can try in the street, if he look at you like this. What is this person giving me a candy? Maybe there is some, you know, poison in that candy, or maybe he's trying to cheat me after he will ask me some money or some, no? Those who are distributing prasad in the streets, we know. Sometimes we make nice cookie, you know, we come to someone, we tell them, oh, this is for you. We know that person likes cookie. Who doesn't like cookie? And they say, no, thank you, I don't like. Come on. You buy there, maybe he has in his pocket even, maybe. Once, it was funny, one of my friends, he invited his father to where we were living, and he wanted to make some prasad to give to his father. So he was thinking, what kind of food everybody likes? So he made pasta. You know, everybody likes pasta. nice pasta. Whoever don't eat pasta. And he knew my father likes pasta. Who is your father? You know what he's eating. No? So he made pasta. Very nice. He's very good cook. He made very nice pasta with this sauce and all this. And when his father came, he said, "Oh, by the way, I cooked some pasta. Would you like to take some meal with us? Take lunch with us?" And his father said, because he knew my son is a Hare Krishna, you know, he was fearful. He said, "You don't know, I never eat pasta, you know. You don't know, I never eat pasta. Sorry, I never eat pasta." That was really not sounding like true coming from. Who said that? You never eat pasta. Maybe on that very night he took some pasta in his house. So, simplicity means, sincerity means you're doing really, you see. Not.
Like a child.
Yeah, like a child. Like Jesus said, if you want to go to the kingdom of God, you have to become like these little children. Because child is sincere.
Like a baker giving you candies to children on Harima. And some children, when they're happy, they're going to take it and tell it. Pull them.
Yeah.
Not knowing. And some parents tell them, "Oh, okay, take it." You can see no end.
Yeah. So like this. So we have to be sincere means we do. Sincerity means to do without our heart what we are doing. We're not expecting something. If I'm giving you something, but with the desire that in this way I will be able to manipulate you, this is not sincerity. This is duplicity. I'm giving Samir Prabhu one burfi because I know he needs burfi, and after I say, "Oh, Samir Prabhu, can you do this for me?" This is not sincere dealings. This is duplicit. But sincerity means what is in our heart we have to express outside. There should be no difference between what is in our heart and what we say. Sometimes the people, when I speak something, sometimes some devotee tell me, "Oh, be careful, you should not say this." I say, "No, why? If I think this, why should not I say? Otherwise I have to correct my thinking, not my saying. Because if I don't say it but I think it, then I'll become duplicitous. I will just outside say, yeah, like this. But inside I don't think that. Though I become duplicit person. If I consider personally whatever I think I should be able to say loudly. In this way, I have to work on my thinking, not on my speaking. What I consider in my personal life, what I would not, what I would not dare to say loudly, I should not think. Because if I fear to say this loudly, that means this thing is not good. No, so I should not think even this. So I have to work on my thinking. No. Don't think like that. I have to think positively. If I think only positively, then I can say. No? If I have no envy, if I see only the good qualities in someone, then I can speak whatever I feel. And if you have no envy, you can even say something, you can always even do some reproach, but you have no envy because you love that person. So you have right to reproach that person. If someone tell you, "Why you are reproaching that person?" "Oh, this is because I want to help that person. Because my feeling is not bad. If I know my feeling for this person is not bad, I like this person, then I have right to reproach, like mother is reproaching the child. We will not say to the mother, "Why are you reproaching your child?" Because we know she loves the child, she reproaches out of love. So this is not a bad thing, because the feeling is good. If our feeling is good, we can say anything. But if my feeling is bad, and I say some nice thing, this is like sometimes some devotee asks me, "Babu, you know, like what is really definition of Vaishnava parad, of more making an offense? If we think something bad about someone but we don't say it, is it offensive? I say yes, even if you don't speak it. Because if you think something bad about someone but you say something nice, whatever nice thing you will tell to him, because actually you're thinking bad thing, whatever nice thing you will tell, this is offensive. But if you are thinking nicely about someone, even if you say something bad, this is not an offense. This is devotion. You understand? Because what matters is the thought, the intention. So if we don't want to offend the Vaishnava, we should not think bad about them. If I don't think bad about nobody, then I cannot make any offense. I may see some mistakes somebody is doing and tell him, Prabhu is doing this, this is not correct. But I do this out of love. Like my brother become drunkard or drug addict. I may come to him and say, my, you should not do this, this is not good for you. But I don't do this because I think I'm better than him. But because I just see he has become affected by something which is not good for him. Let me try to help him. In this way, this is not offense. But if I know this person, really I don't like him, and I say, oh yes, Prabhuji, you're so nice, you have so many good qualities, but I'm not thinking that. This is duplicity. Krishna cannot save a duplicitous person. Gonitai they came, Patita Pavana. No? They are the savior of those who are fallen, but they cannot save the Kapatya. There is one verse, Kapatya, who is a crooked in his heart, duplicit person, Gonitai cannot save. There is one verse in Bengali saying this, I don't remember the verse. Gonitai came to save those who are fallen, but those who are crooked, they cannot save. Gonitai can save you only if you, because actually we are all fallen, this is a fact, but only those who recognize they are fallen, then they can get the mercy of Gonitai. If we think we are great, then what can they do for us? No? We all have met this in our life. Sometimes we want to help someone, but that person has too much pride. No? Thinking I am great, we cannot help that person. We'll try, Prabhu, or trying to help that person, he will not listen to you because he thinks I am great. How you can help that person? You can't. However, as you may try, you can't help that person because he doesn't think he is wrong. He thinks I am good. He thinks you are wrong. So to this person, what can you say? You cannot help them. You can only help someone who accepts your help. Or in France we have this proverb, we say you can bring one horse to the, I don't know, to the pool, but you cannot force the horse to drink. You can bring him, those who are dealing with animals. I noticed when I was young, my brother, he had some horses and like this, I remember. We were taking the horse and bringing them. You bring where this, there is the water, the pond, and then you wait. Will the horse drink or not? You cannot, even if you punch him or this, you can force him to drink. And our service is to bring the horse to the water. Here, my dear friend, this is you, this is Prabhupada's book, I'm giving to you, please read. You cannot force that person to take the book. If you don't want, you can try with all your heart. This is very nice book for you. But if the person doesn't want, okay, let him go. Same with in our living every day. You can help who opens his heart to you and say, okay, this person brought me to this water, horse sinking. Maybe this water is good. And he takes. Normally they are more simple than human beings. Unfortunately, human beings are very the Brichitus. Right? The animals, they are more simple. If you give them some grain or something, they will take it. They will not think. This is why it's easy to cheat the animals. You know? They are using this for the circus, and they are just cheating the animals because they are simple. You give a carrot in front of donkey, donkey will thinking, oh, I'll get my carrot. But he's just cheating the donkey, never giving the carrot to the donkey, no? At least if he were good, he would give some time to time one carrot, but not. Just standing. So in this way, we have to take shelter of those who have very good qualities and who are dear to Krishna. This is called Sadhu Sangha, association with the Vaishnavas. And in that way, Krishna will appreciate. Mahaprabhu said that. This is the. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said in his song, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya, he's saying that, Koromore Atmashata, please make me one of yours. Because if our spiritual master or a great Vaishnava consider, or this person is one of my good friends, I like this person, then we are safe. Krishna will shower all his mercy upon us, just because we are dear to his devotees. This is how it's very important to be dear to the devotees. You can get so much blessing. Even from the small devotees, they can give you blessing. Krishna will consider. Vaishnav means we have to beg the blessing of all devotees. Small devotees, senior devotees, old devotees, everybody can give you some blessing. The more you can get, the best it is, the better it is. No? Even small blessing we take, we accept. Even if someone is very new devotee, he can give you blessing, small blessing. Even this I take, this will help me. Because I am a hopeless case, even small. You know, when you are really poor, if I give you 1 cent, you take it. Isn't it? So if we realize we are very fallen, we will be ready to take any penny someone is ready to give us. Because we think 1 penny, 2 penny, 3 penny, after I be able to buy one bread. But those who think they are not poor, yes, they don't like. It happened sometime in my life, it happened some beggar was there and I want to give something, I have only 3 penny in my very little bit. What is smallest coin that I had in my pocket, 2 or 3. And I gave him and he looked at me and said, You give me that? Because this has completely no value. He need maybe 100 of this to buy one candy, you know. So he felt offended when I gave him this. I said, sorry, I only need that. He was angry. Because he doesn't realize how poor he is. He should have taken. He's so poor living in the street, and give you 3 pennies, take this 3 pennies. But if you think, I'm great, even beggars, they have some ego. They have some ego. They want $5, $10. If you give them 2 pennies, try, you will see the reaction. Yeah, because they are waiting for $10. But if we understand I am very small, so that we can develop these qualities. So, yeah, my conclusion was that I was deviated by most. Of Mahaprabhu, he has taken the qualities of Radharani. So if we worship him in that form, then we can obtain these qualities. You understand? Which are normally unavailable. So the most beautiful qualities we can get by worshipping Mahaprabhu. This is why Narottam Das Thakur said, Gaurangera Duti Pada Se Jara Dana Sampada Gaurangera Duti Pada Jara Dana Sampada. I could not find it. Gaurangera Duti Pada Sejana Sampada. No? Sejana Bhakati Rasasa. This person has understood the essence or the secret of devotion, who is making the two lotus feet of Mahaprabhu the treasure of his life. He has understood everything, because by making the lotus feet of Chaitanya his treasure, he will get the most, the greatest thing. He knows that. So he is worshipping Mahaprabhu. That's what Prabhupada came to give us. Prabhupada came to make of us Rupa Nuga, Gaudiya Vaishnava, giving us the gift of Mahaprabhu. Because our Sampradaya is carrying the greatest gift, which is called Unatujvala Rasam Sabhakti Sriyam, which is the own treasure of Krishna. Svabhakti Sriyam. What Krishna considers his treasure, that he has come to give. Samarpayitum Unatujvala Rasam. He has come to distribute to everyone what he is considering his treasure in his form of Mahaprabhu. So if we worship Mahaprabhu, we will get from Krishna what he is considering his own treasure. What is this? Onato Ujvara Rasa. This is the feeling that is existing in the heart of Radharani, that he has come to give access to everybody. Before, nobody could have access to that. Anarpita charim chirat. This, nobody had ever given this. Karuna vatirna kalao. But out of his unlimited mercy, he appeared in this age of Kali. Samarpa itum unatujvala rasa. And that is in his form of Mahaprabhu. So we have to try to understand Mahaprabhu. Ki jai.